week, so I want to make sure to mention it to everybody. I'm sure all of us are concerned, considering the events that have happened in recent weeks at other churches around the country. And so starting today, 15 minutes past the start of the service, in this service, we will be locking the front door facing Ray Street, okay? So anyone who needs to come in following that time will need to come in back here, okay? And we're just trying to do that for our own protection. Obviously, we understand that our safety is in the Lord's hands. But humanly speaking, we want to do everything we can to be prepared and prevent problems if we can. So, starting today, we'll be doing that. One thing I need to mention also is, it was just mentioned to me this morning that Brother Jim DeLucia lost a pair of glasses here. They were in a brown case. If any of you are aware of that and know where they might be, just let him know. So he obviously wants his glasses back if he can get them. The other thing, too, and I mentioned this in Sunday school, we have a lot of 2018 calendars, and they aren't doing anybody any good if they stay here. So please take them. There may be friends or coworkers, people you know, that might be reticent to take a gospel tract, but they would take a calendar, and the gospel is in that those calendars. So if you have people that you can give them to, please take them. There are those white envelopes in the back next to the sound table that you can put those in to mail them to somebody. So if you want to do that, please do so. We want to thank Brother Siebold for coming again today. We're glad that you and your wife Patty are here with us today. Welcome. And for this coming Wednesday night and then for the next three Sundays, Brother Strawn will be here. So we're looking forward to seeing what God will do with those services. And those are the major announcements I have for right now. Except for the new memory verse for this week. Some of you heard that, some of you didn't. We just finished looking at Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Now we're going to be looking at John chapter 17. If you would like to take the Bibles and turn there, John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 20. This is the Lord Jesus' prayer to the Father. He realized his time on earth was short, and he realized that those who would be here on earth following his departure would need help. And so the Lord Jesus is praying to the Father so that that help would come. And we realize in previous chapters that we do have the Holy Spirit mentioned, and we have him indwelling in us. We are saved. That's a blessing to know that. Plus, we have the completed Word of God. John chapter 17, verse 20. Let's say it together. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. All right, so Lord Jesus was not just praying for those that were right there with him at the time, but for those of us who are here today. That's a blessing. Okay, let's take our books again. Number 69. The 101 book. 69.
Yeah.
be singing one more song. It's number 101, the very last song in this book. And then following this song, Brother Zebo will come and preach. If we're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one? Living for Jesus. 101.
Good to be in church this morning. That's good. The Lord likes to hear that. So does your neighbor like to know that you're glad to be in church. And if you came under duress, you're better off being in church than any place else. There's no place like this place near this place, so this has got to be the place right here. And we are glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, so am I. And so introduce yourself. I'm glad I'm here. Glad an invitation was extended several weeks ago for us to be here. I feel at home. I'm getting there. I won't put my hand up so you can see it's shaking. It's an awesome responsibility to stand before the people of God and preach the Word of God. This is a two-way street. Now, I know this is Grace Street, but this is a two-way street. That means I and you are going to participate in a study preaching of the Word of God. And it's imperative that your mind stays with the pulpit, and the pulpit tries to stay with you. And every once in a while, be careful. If it's supposed to be smiling, smile. If you're supposed to be frowning, frown. Because I look out there, and I thought you were supposed to be smiling, and you're frowning. Then I got to try and figure out, what in the world are they frowning about? What did I say that they didn't like? I'm not preaching to please you. I'm preaching to please God. And I hope that somehow, some way, revival will come here to the Northeast. We have a young couple from California. I'm almost ready to cry about that. But we're glad you left California, because there's no place. This East Coast is where it's happening. This is where it's going on. It's been dead for too long. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. And so we're looking for revival here in the Northeast. And I thank God that it's in the process. God's quickening. God's bringing alive. And thank God for that. So we're glad that you're here. Recommended all the way from California. Somebody knew something about this place and said, there's a place right out there. Good, 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 good and gooder. The calendars. You have mentioned in my passing, nothing directly to me, but you can do something for God. You can do something for God. You can take one of these calendars, put it in an envelope. I don't know how much postage it will take. Nothing more than $10. Make sure it gets to where it's going. Don't put it, I don't know, but I think it's going to take more than one stamp. Take it to the post office. Make sure it's got enough, has enough stamps on it. If you're too tight to do that, walk across the street and give it to a neighbor. You just saved yourself 50 cents, whatever stamp is, all right? But these calendars will not do y'all any good here, not like they would do out there. And exposure is key. We need to once again get the principles, the Word of God, back out into the marketplace. And this is an ideal way of doing it. So take one. There's envelopes in the back there. And take one. And the little information sheet says if you take one, mail one. All right? You don't need one in every room. In your house? I think some of you were disappointed on that comment. You have one. You don't need one, really, in every room in your house. But thank God for that and whoever took the initiative to do that. The devil's had his heyday on influencing our culture for his philosophy, with his philosophy. And it's time for the people of God to rise and say, we want America back. We want America back. And it's our time. It's now. And so turn your volume up just a little bit and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, take your Bible. You got your Bible? Amen? Amen. Best book in all the world. I'm glad you have your Bible this morning. And there's only one Bible. KJV, and we thank God for that. And so get it in your hand. Some of you are getting worried. I'm taking out papers, and how long is he going to preach for this morning? Good night. Oh, my. Good. In your Bibles, if you would turn there, Proverbs chapter 29, and we'll be in different portions of Scripture this morning. I hesitate in giving you the title of the message. It's called War Whatever. No, that's not what it's called. It's called Don't Ever Get Old. Don't ever get old. Now, some of you say that man has lost his mind. I sat next to a young lady who was, I believe, 91. 91? You're 91, right? Amen. I'm catching up real fast. And so we have a diversity of ages here. We have diversity of personalities. We have diversity of likes and dislikes and so forth and so on. But physically, we're having a hard time. You can say all you want. Don't ever get old. Stay young. I mentioned that somewhere along the way. And somebody said, that's what my mother told me. That's the way I was brought up. Stay young. Don't ever get old. And now look at me. So physically... Physically, it's an imperative. I mean, it's not going to work. You can say don't ever get old as long as you want. And you get up over that 100 mark. Don't ever get old. Stay young. We only have 8.5 more years before we get to that mark. And so physically, do the best you can. We need church folks who are doing the best they can. But let me say to you, do the best you can with what you got. Do the best you can. Some of you, it was a real struggle to get to church this morning. Amen? I mean, it just took longer to get my socks on. I'm half tempted not to take them off and just keep them on when I take a shower. And that way I don't have to worry about it. But sometimes it's not as easy to do what we have to do. It was easier yesterday than it is today. Physically, you know, do the best you can. I'm not a dietitian, and I would not suggest that anybody follow my diet. I told you last week it's nothing but chocolate cupcakes and Diet Coke and two eggs for breakfast. But you just stay as healthy as you can. God needs you. God needs you. You say, what did I do? I just came to church. You know, there are people who watched you come to church this morning. There are people saying, I wonder where she's going. I wonder where he's going. I wonder where they're going. What are they doing? What's happening in that place? Something's happening. And so you've got some neighbors who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ like you come to find him. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And so we need to be happy people. Now, I'm told that in the Northeast, sorry if you folks from California, you'll get used to it, you can't be happy. They think you're loony. If you're sitting on the bus going someplace and you're smiling, oh my, they'll have the white coats coming to check you in. You know, but Baptist folks, God fearing, God loving, devil hating Baptist folks, we ought to be happy folks. You know, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a grand thing to follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go. It's a grand thing to be a soldier in his army here below. Amen. And so I'm glad that you're in God's house. And we do not well if we just keep it in the house. Now, we've got to keep it in the house. All right? Don't plan on playing hooky next week or anything like that. But we got to keep it in the house. And we've got to get it out into the marketplace. So somehow, some way, somewhere, get the gospel tracks. You have tracks back there. Leave your tracks behind you. Uh-huh. My son-in-law challenged us to pass out one track every day. That doesn't sound so hard, does it? But you know, when you have to walk up to somebody and you're shy and bashful and you want to give them, then just leave a track. It's going to do more in the barbershop. I don't know what a barbershop is. I'm looking to see how many tracks are going to get out. Some of you guys, we're not going to get too many out. All right? But leave a track behind in the barbershop. And somebody's ought to pick it up and make sure it has the church name, church telephone number on it. And we're not anxious to push. Let me put it this way. People need to know that there's a church in town that stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. So put your name on it. Put somebody's name on it. Put somebody's telephone name on it there along the way. And don't be bashful about passing out tracts. Now, I think I asked this a week ago or so. How many of you are bashful about passing out tracts? And I remember a response, probably didn't do it. But I mean, many of us are shy. Many of us are bashful. Many of us will hand somebody a tract and we want to get out of there before they start asking us questions. Anybody identify with that? I'm the only one. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good. We're most of us in that capacity, we're shy. So get them and give them out. 365 days, 365 tracks. Now, if you just say there were 100 people, multiply, it's easier to do with 100 people, but that would be 3,650 tracks. That'd be a good number of tracks here in this neighborhood. Amen? They don't do much good on the back, except they're there for somebody to take out. So take them out and give them to somebody, a track a day. That's quite possible. I'm thinking of my son-in-law who was at our house, and it was about 11:45, midnight, 11:45. He said, Rev, I'm going out. I said, where are you going? He said, I don't know, but I'm going out. And he took a track. He hadn't given one out that day, and the Holy Spirit of God was convicting him because he said he was going to give a track out every day, and he got in his car, rode some someplace, and passed out the track. About 2 or 3 months later, a similar situation happened to me. I went to, you wouldn't know what 7-Elevens are, like Wawa's. But I went and went there, jumped out of my car, and it was close to midnight. And I said to the fellow, I said, here, I want you to take this. I promised God I was going to give a track out every day. I'll see you later. I mean, it startled the young man. I'm pretty much sure that he read it. I don't know beyond that point. But, you know, it was, PJs were hanging out in my dungarees. You find what I'm saying? I'm trying to say, not everybody here is very, you know, oh, it's a piece of cake. I'll just go there and I'll just hand out a track and they're going to smile at me. They're going to talk to me. I'll tell them about the Lord and they'll get born again. They'll pray the sinner's prayer and they'll be in church and they'll get baptized. It does not work that way, but it's not going to work if the tracks stay on the back table. Okay? Uh-huh. I agree. In your Bibles, book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse number 18. Don't ever get old. Keep that in your mind. Don't ever get old. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The word vision here doesn't necessarily mean with physical vision. It means with a heart mind, with an understanding that we have a vision. We have a comprehension. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. We have an idea of what heaven will be like. So we have a concept. And because of that concept, we're happy. We're joyful. This world's, we're just passing through. Treasures laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Where there is no vision, the people get weary. They get trodden down. They get disheartened. This is not it. There's an eternity ahead. There's a place where you are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and never once have to go to the dentist. I was just trying, what would these folks really not like? Well, that's going to the dentist. I've had false teeth since I was 18. I needed to get them repaired. I sent them to a place to get them repaired. It took a couple weeks. This is a made-up story. This is not reality, okay? It took about 2 weeks to get them back. And when I got them back, I popped them in. And they fit pretty good, but I couldn't stop talking. I just couldn't stop talking. And then I realized they sent me back to preacher's teeth. No. Really, the truth of the matter was they sent me back my wife's teeth. And I haven't been able to be quiet since then. And like I said, that's make-believe, okay? I'll tell you when it's real. And then we're getting back to the real stuff right now. Don't ever get old. Physically, there's some things you just cannot stop. We're going to talk about spiritual things in just a moment. But just to think physically, your eyes, they get weak. Most of us, or some of us, and a few precious folks are not wearing glasses. There are some who are just too proud. And they don't wear glasses. But our eyes get weak. Our hearing gets weak. Men, you don't realize it, but it's your wife who doesn't speak as loud as she used to. It's not your hearing that's going bad. It's your wife's vocal cords that are worn out from talking so much. So your hearing begins to go. Your appetite. When I wrote this down, I wondered if this is actually true, fellas, but our appetite begins to fade. Our memory begins to fade. We try everything. I take Brain Bright. This is not an advertisement because I can't remember anything. Brain Bright is a memory aid as far as nutrition is concerned and so forth and so on. I've been taking it now for I can't remember how long. I was unsolicited, but anyway. Things start to change physically. But God knows that we were here for 70 plus years. And God wants to use us for that period of time. I believe some of us need to redeem the time. Some of us wasted our youthful days. Some of us neglected the training that was set before us. We were enticed to come to Sunday school, but we didn't want to or we didn't come. We need to redeem the times. If you're here this morning, there's a lot left for you to do for God. I've got kids and I've got grandkids and great-grandkids. And I want that you want to leave them, give them something that they can sink their teeth into, spiritually speaking. And the very fact that you're here this morning is an indicator that you want to do the same thing. We need a revival in America. There's no formula that's going to give it. It's God's people begging God for it. Would you not earnestly pray throughout the day, wherever, whenever it crosses your mind? God, send revival. Send a quickening, send an awakening, send an a dawning of a new time in our church, in our community. And we need to keep on kicking the devil, but we need to ask God to send a revival. And as he does, let's rejoice in it. Amen. Let's rejoice. I've been in a persuasion. You know, if you ask God something that's in his will and you know ahead of time, God's not willing that any should perish. You know it's in his will. Then we ought to start thanking him for the revival. We ought to start thanking him for what he's doing and what he's done. You, I don't know you, but you are the most unlikely candidate to get born again. When you were born, they checked your back and you didn't have any wings. You're supposed to having horns growing out below your ear, above your ears. We've all sinned and come short of glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You weren't born saved, you were born a sinner. You were born again into the family of God. Mommy and daddy may have been Christians, but that doesn't cut it for you. If I was to come down off the pulpit this morning and just ask you a personal question, if you were to die right now, where would you go? What would your answer be? Now, you don't know me well enough for me to do it. If you knew me a little better, I'd come down and ask you. And if you're sitting there and say, I sure hope that, I hope he don't do that. I can't lie in church. Now, if that's your mindset, you better get saved before I stop preaching. Now, many of us are shy. We wouldn't. I don't know how I get behind the pulpit, but we wouldn't talk in a large group like this. We just are that shy. That if I say, I'm going to start in the back and come right down here and then over here, and everybody's going to stand up and say, I got saved in July for whatever it was. Come on now. I can tell by the way some of you are out there contemplating, is he going to do this morning or is he not? You make sure you're saved. You make sure that you have come to a place where you looked in that mirror and you saw a sinner that needed the blood of Christ applied to his life. Amen. I was once a sinner, but I came pardoned to receive from my Lord. It was freely given, and I found he always keeps his word. And it took a little while before I got saved, time period. May it take a little while before you got saved. But the very fact that you're in church today doesn't mean you're saved, but it means you're in a direction that certainly could open a door for your salvation. Make sure you know Christ. As I said last week, God's never called me on the phone and said, was that person saved? Was that lady saved? God knows. And make sure you know that you trusted Christ. Don't ever get old. Now, in your salvation experience, there are some things that you want to hold on to. Turn your Bibles, if you would, with me. John chapter 4. You say, I'm going to wear out my Bible? That's good. That's good. It's good to see a worn Bible. John chapter 4. Jesus speaking, verse 35. John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Don't say that. It's time now. Behold, Jesus said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. I believe that Jesus is trying to teach us, we need to have some type of vision for the lost. Look on the fields. They're already white unto harvest. Somebody looked at you as a grain ready for harvest, as an ear corn ready for harvest, as a tomato plant ready for harvest, then looked at you and said, there is someone ready for harvest. Now, we don't have that capability of always knowing that, hey, this one's ready for harvest. This one's ready for harvest. No, no, no. We need to go out and harvest. And we need to have a vision, a vision. I think in our local churches, we've lost that idea of a vision. A vision. Can you envision this auditorium with every seat filled? That's three of you. That's four of you. That's five. Can you envision this? God's a great God. People are lost and on their way to hell, and they need to hear the story of redemption. And when they hear the story of redemption, they need to respond to it. Now, the devil's been plugging them in with all different other types of things, but they need to hear it. And I dare say, if we go into the marketplace around this neighborhood and ask somebody, have you ever heard the plan of salvation? Some are going to say yes. Some are going to say, I was born a Christian. But there are folks out there who think they were, but they're not. And this place here has to have that vision of what God wants to do. Thank God for what he's done. Amen? Oh, Lord, I apologize. They're not very thankful. Thank God for what he's done. I wasn't joking. I mean, really, we need to say God's been good. And thank God for what he's done. And thank God for what he's doing. Amen? And thank God for what he's going to do. Thank God for what he's going to do. On Wednesday, some of you are looking forward to Thursday. Let me say it again. On Wednesday, some of you are looking forward to Thursday. For what you are going to do? Gobble, gobble. And so as God's children, we need to be looking forward to what God's going to do. Thank you for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. You ever dream? You know, some of you men used to play baseball and you would dream of hitting that home run. And everybody cheering the bottom of the ninth. You're up the bat. You're down by four runs. And you, three runs, whatever. And you hit the home run with bases loaded. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You dream about that. We start dreaming about that one who's going to come to Christ. A vision of what God has done, is doing, and will do in the days that lie ahead. We've lost our vision. The devil's come along and say, look at there. Now, wait. Devil, you just take a hike. Because I'm seeing what God's doing. I see that you're sitting here, and for some of you, a few of you, or many of you, it wasn't an easy task getting to church. But you came. And there are folks out there who would benefit from knowing what you know. Are you not glad you got saved? Yeah, I'm glad I got saved. And perhaps the older I get, the gladder I get. Yeah. I'm getting closer and closer to that doorway. I'm getting closer and closer. I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad somebody cared enough about me for about 14 months to keep saying, George, you need to be born again. George, you need to be saved. George, you need to. My brother, we drove back and forth. I was at Joe was at Rutgers and I was at NC. But anyway, we drove back and forth and he got saved. I mean, he got born again. I mean, he was a religious fanatic. We need some more of those folks. He'd sit down at the barber's chair, and you know how the barber likes to talk. The barber couldn't get a word in. My brother was telling him about being born again, being born again, being born again, being born again. We need some of that. We need to have our eyes sharp. You see the vision, then comes the victory. You see the vision, then comes the victory. I like the story of David. David had a vision when he saw that giant. And that giant ain't much, but he knew what he could do with God's help. Maybe we should say the other way. God could do all of what he needed to do, and David was there to do it. And David said, hey, that's not going to happen. He drew out his sword and chopped off the giant's head, and he got the victory. But he had a vision of what could be done, what should be done, what ought to be done, and then he went ahead and did it. Trying to give you a little vision of what ought to be done, what should be done this morning, and say, I'm going to go out and do that. And there's a giant out there who's going to throw all kinds of slanders and accusations against you. And you say, I'm going out. I'm going. And I'm just trying to say that I understand. It's not always easy to do, but God's there with you. And with him, we can do what he wants us to do. Don't ever get old. Some of you were raised with that philosophy. Don't ever get old. I'm saying spiritually, don't ever get old. Your spiritual eyes, keep that vision for what God can do in using you. Don't ever get on. We've come this far by faith. He's never failed us yet. And we're not turning back. We're not turning back. 1 Samuel, if you would. Wear out your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Don't ever get old spiritually. Your eyes. The vision that you have. Keep the vision. Renew the vision. Restore the vision of what you can do for God. I'm only one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I will do by the grace of God. Have a vision of what you can do. Be creative in that vision, whatever it takes. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 9. Don't ever get old. Your eyesight, but spiritually speaking, it can be refreshed, restored, and you can go forth seeing what God would have you to see and envisioning what God would have you to vision. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Ouch. You can look up here. You did a good job of looking down. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We need to once again say, God, say something to me. You have the message from God on your lap. You have God's word on your lap. Speak, Lord. This book is your source of God's will for your life. Speak, Lord. Well, my hearing is just not what it ought to be. You all know what Q-tips are? My wife only uses one. You know how they got them little fuzzy ends? She just pushes and pushes and pushes and comes out this side. She's that scotch. Now, I can do it with one. Maybe we need to have our spiritual ears cleaned out. Maybe we need to listen to what God might want us and want us to hear. That book that you hold on your lap is our instruction book for life. Every aspect of life. And it's what God has given us. And principles from this book ought to be applied to our lives. Did you hear what God said? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Thank God for the Philippines. The world has come to us. Amen? Aren't you glad to be in this part of the country? Well, compared to California, you'd be glad to be in this part of the country. Amen. I mentioned to the young couple, I said, our governor in New Jersey said he wants to make New Jersey like California. And Ma said, it's time to move. We're always on the move. Nobody can find us anyway. It's that way. Our hearing, speak, Lord. What wilt thou have me to do? What God wants you to do, he certainly doesn't want me to do. And what God wants me to do, he certainly doesn't want you to do. But as a team, we're not all quarterbacks. We're not all wide receivers. That's the only two players I know. But anyway, you were not all doing and running the same position. God has something for each one of us to do for him. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. So I jot down here my note. Selective hearing. Does that mean anything to anybody? Selective hearing. Has anybody ever been accused of having selective hearing? And if you were accused of that, who were you accused by? All right, we'll take a vote. No, just a hand vote, a voice vote. No. You have selective hearing, and that is in a marriage relationship. But who are we? We are the bride of Christ. And I think sometimes we have that transgression of having selective hearing. God wasn't talking to me. He was talking to that missionary that he might go. Or he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to that preacher. He wasn't talking to me. He's talking to you. And you ought to be doing something. And I'm not saying you're not, but I'm saying we ought to be doing something for God. And let him talk to you. Let him talk to you. I wouldn't mind being accused of that when I was praying. Somebody said, who are you talking to? I was talking to God. Amen. You sit down at a dinner table and you pray. Waitress walks by. She ought to have some idea you were talking to God. We get up in the morning. Good morning, Lord. The gentleman who prayed this morning, did you recognize how he began the prayer? And I'm not evaluating prayers, and you can get all bent up. But anyway, but I'm trying to remember the exact words. Anybody remember? Help me out. I don't want to embarrass nobody except me, and I'm doing a good job. Who? Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. I saw my soul. He's praying. He ain't talking to me. He may be talking on my behalf, but he isn't talking to me. Good morning, Lord. Amen. Amen. We need to have that response. Our hearing, it gets weak in our aging process. We probably have a few more minutes this morning. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Psalm I said, spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It just doesn't seem fair that we have the news and we don't pass that news on to somebody else. Let's do it. Let's get that news out. Hear ye the master's call, give me your best. For be it great or small, that is the test. You got something you can do for God? Amen. Something you can do for God. God needs you to do it. Because if God has it for you to do, nobody else ought to be doing it. Hear ye the master's call, give me your best. For be it great or small, that is the test. Can you hear it? Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. You're in a battle. We need every Christian soldier we can possibly get. I was raised on that little song. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. We recognize we were in a battle. And we're still in a battle. And we're not about to lay down the arms. We're still in the battle. Amen. In other words, some of us need to re-enlist. So somebody say, I may be a little shaggy, but Lord, here I am. I just want to do my best for you in the army of God. And so let's get in it and let's get with it. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Lift up his word. Point number three this morning. Uno, dos, tres. Don't ever get old. We said when you're getting old, your eyesight gets weak, your hearing gets weak, and your appetite gets weak. Now, there are many of you in here are not old yet because your appetite hasn't gotten weak. I see some wives looking at husbands. Your spiritual, I'm talking about spiritual now, spiritual appetite. We have the advantage of modern technology. I don't know how many times I've read the Old Testament and New Testament since we started in this ministry on tape. You follow what I'm saying? Not tape. What do you call them? Little round circles look like? The disc. Okay. And so we have the New Testament, Old Testament on the disc. And when you're traveling down the highway, I'm not about to listen to the radio. Come on now. I'm not about to listen to the radio. So I've got that little disc that goes. Now, when I'm in traffic, Mom just reaches over and pushes that button to shut it off. And then when we get back out of traffic, she'll say, Rev, is it okay I turn it back on? Why? Because I can't do two things at the same time. And if I'm listening to the radio and I'm in Romans chapter 12, and I'm driving, I'm listening to Romans. I'm like, these people going all over the place, and I'm going all over the place, and it just isn't going to happen. It's what she does all the time. Is it all right if I turn it back on? Yeah, okay. We're on a straightaway for a while. Anybody want to ride home with me? I'd be more than glad you give me a ride. Pray for my wife. It gets weak. Your appetite gets weak. Your desire for the Word of God gets weak. Now, when I prepared this, when I wrote this down yesterday, I thought to myself, this doesn't pertain to you. It doesn't pertain to this group of people. I thought about you. I don't know you by name and so forth, and I apologize for that. But I thought about, and I said, this just doesn't apply. These folks here in this place are hungry for the Word of God. Now, don't make me a liar. Okay? I'm looking at this body of believers saying this is the group that at 6 o'clock in the morning is up reading their Bible. This is a group with their breakfast has their Bible alongside. This is a group that has the Bible study. This is the group that has, and that, as you get older, sometimes you lose that. As you've been a Christian for a longer period of time. Remember when you first got saved? I mean, you're walking down the street reading your Bible. You got it up on a steering wheel so you can read it while you're driving. You've got it all over the Word of God. But as you get older, that slips just a little bit. And during the closing song or closing prayer, some of us need to say, Lord, give me a greater desire. Increase my appetite. God, you paid a big price for the meal. You paid a big price. And I really don't want to waste any of that. So let me digest all that I possibly can from your word. Our appetite, it slid. It went down. Create in me, God, an appetite for the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You may feed at Jesus' table all the time. He that fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. He wants you to come and dine. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Don't ever get old. Your appetite begins to wean. Let me say one more. In your Bibles. I didn't read the Bible verse, did I? Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Come and dine. Your appetite seems to wean for the Word of God. And like I said in the very beginning of this thought, it was not in mind of the body of believers here, but don't make me a fibber. May we all have a strong desire for the Word of God. Number four, if you're keeping track. Psalm 143 and verse 5. Your memory starts physically. Your memory starts to slide. It starts to slip. People start getting concerned about us. I got some sweet kids. And I was going out to the store to get something. And my daughter, who's married and so forth, but she said to my wife, you're not letting daddy go out by himself, are you? Now, those of you who laugh know why she asked that question. You're not really going to let him go by himself, are you? I'm here, aren't I? So apparently I got back all right. But our memory, and as a concern, seems to start sliding. And then if we have children, they exaggerate it. It's not really as bad as what they think it is. I did make it back. 3 days later, no. I did. No, I made it back the same day. No. Spiritually, our memory starts to slide. Psalm 143 and verse number 5, just three little statements here. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Three little simple things. I remember the days of old. I'm sure glad there was a good yesterday. Not every yesterday was a good yesterday. But I'm sure glad in looking back, there was a good yesterday. The devil would have us look back on yesterdays that kind of puts strife between me and the Lord. But I want to look back on the good days. I want to look back on the joyful times. I want to look back on the blessed times. I remember the days of old. Sometimes in our Christian walk and Christian endeavor, I stood behind the pulpit for 38 years. Same church, same place, same time, same channel, so forth and so on. You know, it was in the same there. And I can remember the days of old. And I can remember the days of old. But I'm not going to stay here. Because I remember the days of old. And then I remember the days of old. I got a text from a former student of Liberty Christian School. Missionary. Had to come home because his wife is real bad sick. He's now the principal of our Christian school. And he just wrote a thank you text for how much he appreciated what happened in the Christian school and so forth in his life because of the Word of God and the influence that it had. And then sometimes the letters are not as, and then you got to come back over here and go back up. My memory is not what I'd like it to be, but I'm sure glad I can still remember that young man in the fifth grade, and sixth grade, seventh grade. I can remember he had family, mom and dad. Anyway, divorce and all that kind of stuff messed up. But now he is the youth pastor at our church. Back home, not Solid Rock, but Open Door. He said, I can remember that. I can remember that. The devil doesn't want you to remember a whole lot of the good things. He wants to haunt you with the things that weren't so good. Remember a Jewish man by the name of Mo. We were talking about the Hasidic Jews. He got saved in a tent, an oxygen tent, in Paul Kimball Hospital in Lakewood, New Jersey. He had been out to our children's Wednesday morning services there at the Leisure Chateau. Had some type of physical problem. They had to put him in the hospital. He had heard the gospel. We couldn't preach the gospel when we brought our school kids there to the people. But I could preach to the kids. So now we've got 30, 40 Jewish people, Hasidic Jews, strict Jews. And they didn't want to listen to it. They said, you can't, well, how about if I talk to my kids and tell them a little story? All right, you can do that. And it's all, he must be born again. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. Oh, you understand that? You know, second graders, you know. You understand? Oh, yeah. And so these folks were able to listen to it. He heard the gospel, but he hadn't gotten saved in one of our services. In the hospital, we went to visit him. He's there on the bed in the tent. Couldn't hear us on the outside. So he was here on this side of the bed. I got underneath and in the tent. And explained to him what he had already heard when coming to our children's hour, whatever. There, the best I could hear him say, I want Jesus as my Savior. I don't remember exactly the words. But I remember the days of old, how good God's been. It's exciting how good God's been. And I got a phone call at 3:00 in the morning. Rev, your church is on fire. Well, that's nice. What? I'll be right over. And I remember saying to Ma, where's the garden hose at? Because I thought I could put the fire out with the garden hose. When I got there, the building was engulfed in flames, top to bottom, inside, outside. There was no way, I don't know how many fire trucks were there and so forth and so on, to put the fire out. I remember the days of old. Now there are good days, and there were some that were not so good. But with God, God knows what he's doing. That was Sunday night, 3:00 in the morning, 9:00, our kids are being dropped off. My wife's standing out there smiling, greeting people. Because of her smile, the fire marshal thought, we set the fire. Nobody could be that happy about the building burning down. I said, no, we did not burn it down. No, we didn't. I remember how God has blessed and then put you through trials and tribulations. I dare say each one of you has some heartache stories to tell. And I dare say that some of you have some good stories to tell. Once I was a sinner, but I came pardoned to receive from the Lord. We have some stories to tell. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore, but we still had some stories we wanted to tell. God's been good to you. Hey, listen, you're sitting here and not out there. You're sitting with this and not this. God's been good. God's been good. And us, just like his children. I don't want to hear my girls complaining to me. Now, I'll listen about their concerns, but I don't want to. Hey, you got the best daddy in all the world. And then from that point, hey, God will supply your every need. Lord, we're thankful today. That wasn't just last Thursday. That was today. That's this afternoon. That's tomorrow. Yeah, but you don't understand. I wanted a pink car. Or pink car? Who wants a pink car? I wanted a pink car, No. We are happy people. Praise the Lord. Amen? So when God looks down and sees you, he sees the joy of the Lord reflected in you. Don't ever get old. Your vision, God's in charge. Your hearing, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. I want to hear God. Don't ever get old. Your appetite, thy word was found, and I did eat it. I consumed it. I digested it. And then lastly, we said, this is the book. This is the one we're going to stay with. This is the one we're going to live with. Well, I'm going to stop, believe it or not. That's another rambling with Rev. Somebody asked me last week after the message, what was the title of that message? Call it whatever you want. Amen. Take what you heard, chew it over, make a difference in somebody's life. Care about it. Don't ever get old. Heavenly Father, there's so much that ought to have been said that wasn't said. Forgive me. There are some things that were said that we just shouldn't have said. We needed to say some other things, but they never did get there. Lord, you've raised up a people here in this place that you have imparted days past, weeks, months, and years past. You have imparted in each mind and each heart through the faithful preaching of your word what needed to be planted. Lord, we now need to look on the fields. They're already waiting on the harvest because of that seed that was planted. Lord, I pray you'd bring it to harvest. I pray many a soul would be saved in the days that lie ahead because of the faithfulness of your people. Lord, help the standard to stay high, guide and direct in all that's done. Again, we thank you for the privilege of standing behind this sacred desk. Lord, to you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I'd ask it. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song. If you all stand, the song leader's going to come. I appreciate your singing. It's good. It's good. I think God likes it too. Amen. Sing with your lips. Sing with your heart. Amen. They're debating whether they want to ask me to sing or not. They kept looking at the door. Amen.
All right, let's take our 101 books again. We'll turn to number 19. Where we'll never grow old. Why don't we stand, please, as we sing this?
Father in heaven, we pray that we would be about your business, faithfully serving you the best that we can until the day the Lord Jesus returns to take his bride home to heaven. We hope that day comes soon. As we've heard many times today, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so we pray that our focus would be on things above, not on things here on earth. And we pray that the mind of Christ would be in us, looking to serve rather than to be waited upon. And we pray that you would use each one of us in the days that lie ahead as you tarry to spread the gospel around the world to whomever we come in contact with. And may we use whatever available things that we have, whether it be tracts or the calendars, the spoken word, whatever it might be, to reach as many as we can with the gospel of Christ. Give us safety as we travel to our homes, and may we honor you throughout our day. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.